Now, I want you to understand that there is something that causes poverty in the life of a Christian that is directly the source. There is something that causes sickness in the life specifically of the Christian, but human beings generally. It is the source. Something that causes retardation, delay, pain, suffering. It's called the spirit of death. So the spirit of death is not just an entity that leads to the death of someone. Eh? The spirit of death is the entity that came into existence the moment that Adam and Eve fell, and is the direct enemy to life and everything that life provides. So everything that you do not like in your life currently is not just, it's not actually, well, while the devil is the source, the actual source is the spirit of death, which leads to the corruption of everything that God has provided in its entirety and its wholeness. Praise the living God. So I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 53 to 55, just to bring across my point. It says, "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Next verse. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Say amen. Verse 55. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Now, a couple of years back, about 10 years back, I studied a man deep in history that intrigued me. And when I found out this particular individual in history, I began using scripture and other means to try to find out the revelation that lay behind some of the things that I drew from the life of this particular person and others. But for the sake of time, I'll just focus on this person. He was a man that existed in the 17th century, and I pray some of you would have heard of him, but most of you most likely not. Eh? 17th century, Emma, that is 1600s. Eh? 17th century, he went by the French title, Le Comte de Saint-Germain, which in Ugandan English is the Count of Saint Germain. So he was called Le Comte de Saint-Germain. Now, that was his title. And when I found out about this particular individual 10 years ago, he intrigued me because throughout history, no one till today knows his real name. No one knows his origin. He is an individual that existed in history, not only in the 17th century, the 18th century, the 19th century, and the 20th century, the same individual. And if you look through, you'd ask yourself, because a century is 100 years, right? And if you look through the life of this particular individual, you'd ask yourself how it's possible that a person could exist from century to century without dying. This is very important. Eh? The last time he was mentioned by title was in the 20th century. And it's believed after that, he changed his identity. We know he actually existed. History doesn't argue with his existence, because figures, historical figures that you and I know, encountered him and mentioned the fact that they encountered him. Now, if you are a history buff like I am, Louis the 15th, the king of France, mentioned that he met this guy. Louis the 16th of France and his wife Marie Antoinette mentioned that they met the same guy. In fact, he had the capacity to be prophetic. History says that he warned Louis the 16th and Marie Antoinette about the French Revolution 15 years before it ever came to pass. But they didn't believe him. Catherine the Great, the Russian ruler, mentions him. Voltaire, a French philosopher, mentions him. I could go on. There was an adventurer called Casanova, mentioned him. He said one time he had an encounter with him, and he was shocked at the ability and the knowledge that this guy had. He could speak any language fluently: French, Portuguese, German, English, ancient Greek, Japanese. He could play any instrument as well as a person who had lived their entire life learning the instrument. He could sing like someone who has always been singing. He could compose. He had knowledge in science, knowledge in mathematics, knowledge in medicine at its fullness. An individual in history. There's a lady actually who met him 50 years after she had met him before. And she was shocked to see that he was still the same age. 45 years old. He often told people that he had been there at the wedding of Cana. That he was there at the Council of Nicene. Now, for those of you who don't know, that's how the Bible was put together. The Council of Nicene. He said he was there. He had knowledge about history, an actual individual that you go and Google. Now there are arguments over whether such a thing is possible. But one thing is clear, as we go down the road to history from 17th century, this one particular individual keeps showing up. He was always at parties of the rich. He was wealthy, but no one knew where he got his wealth from. Now, I read this and you can see why it intrigued me. Okay? No one knew where he got his wealth from. At one point in the 17th century, he said he was 500 years old. He had the ability to control elements and nature. He had learned alchemy. We'll talk about that some other day. Huh? The Count of Saint-Germain. No one knows his name. And yet, if you look at individuals like that, and you know, when I studied this, I asked myself a question. The question is not whether such a person existed or not. Although clearly history has something to show that there's actually someone like that. Now, if you're well versed with the information and knowledge, you would have heard of what they call the Wandering Jew. A Wandering Jew is a particular individual who has been walking the face of this earth and does not die. But this individual is different from the Wandering Jew. These are two different individuals. This is a guy who could sit in a room and get the attention of everyone. No one had ever seen him eat. Now, my question is it possible for man to be immortal? I'm going to throw it to you. Is it possible for man, you and I, to be immortal? Okay, you're saying yes because of what I've just said? Is it possible? Praise the Lord. Do you know the New World Order has spent billions trying to ensure that they can find a way to either slow down aging or nullify it altogether? Billions. The likes of Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk and the likes, and others the same, are fighting, putting money day and night to try to find a way to nullify aging altogether and defeat death. In the 17th century, early 17th century, there are people who traveled the entire earth looking for the fountain of youth. Fountain of youth, also called the fountain of life. Looking for it. Because ever since the fall, men have been obsessed with the ability not to die. Psalms chapter 36 and verse 9. Psalms 36 and verse 9. For with thee is the fountain of life. So wherever they're looking for it, on earth here, it is with God. It says, in thy light shall we see light. With thee is the fountain of life. Till this very day, people are looking for ways to escape the channel that is death. Now, in some areas, they've gone as far as to sacrifice children to the God in the Bible that they refer to as Molech. It still happens today. And why do they sacrifice children? Because of the process that is called spiritual transaction. That if I give a life, I exchange that life for mine. It's actually what Jesus did. That when he died on the cross, his life was given to us. So they will take young children and sacrifice them to exchange their life for theirs in order to be able to have longer life. On another level, they have been able to get children and carry out abortion through planned parenting. And if some of you don't know, because I pay attention to these things, they get a fetus and they destroy it. And in the process of destroying a fetus, in that trauma moment, the body tries to protect the fetus and releases an adrenaline. That adrenaline is what they collect and sell on the black market as a fountain of youth. We're in the same wavelength, eh? This is happening all over the world today with the likes of Hillary and the rest, eh? Praise the living God. People are going to utmost lengths to ensure that they can capture life. Now, if what I've said is true, and it is, and if what I've told you, if you've understood what I've told you, you'll understand what I'm about to say next. There is a distinct difference between immortality and everlasting life. Or eternal life. The two are not the. Okay? There is a distinct difference between immortality and eternal life. Eternal life is life, or is life everlasting or living forever. People who die still live forever. It just depends where. Right now, everyone you know who died that is a Christian has eternal life. Everyone you know who died that was not in Christ Jesus has eternal death or eternal damnation or eternal condemnation. You're with me? So everyone will live forever. It just depends where. That is eternal life. There is immortality. Immortality is the inability to die. A person can die and still have eternal life. Immortality is the inability to die. That means a person walks the earth until Jesus comes and places his kingdom on this earth. And whether you believe it or not, there are people there are people who, either divine or demonic, have outlived generations. And I could go, because I know there are a number of people who are going to argue with this, eh? But I tell you, what I'm telling you is true. And we will use scripture at many parts to try to explain it. Romans chapter 2 verse 7. It says, to them who by patient continuous in well-doing, seek for glory, honor, and immortality, eternal life. So this scripture is distinguishing eternal life from immortality. And what it's telling us is that it can be sought. happen. Like, now today you're not in the, we're not on the same wavelength. I'm not the one saying. It's there. To them who by patience continuous in well-doing seek one glory, so there's no problem in seeking glory. Two, honor, no problem in seeking honor. But three, immortality, the ability not to die. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that when Adam and Eve, now I've taught you this before, that when Adam and Eve were in the garden, before Adam ate of the tree of life, what was giving him life was the fact that the presence of God had saturated the Garden of Eden. And so there was life because of the presence of God. But he needed to partake of the tree of life in order to have life inside of him. That divine life. When Adam sinned, death came into existence. Death has three forms. Death, the entity. That's why the Bible says, "O death, where is thy sting?" He's talking to an entity. Are you with me? Death, the state. He says, "It is appointed for each one of us to die once, then judgment." And death, the place, which is a place that actually individuals take up when they die outside of God. Those three. Now, please remember that, because as I move forward, I'm going to explain it. So, Adam and Eve sin. They're kicked out of the garden. Now, I need you to understand that before the fall, man was spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, soul, and body, that's why scripture says in 1 Thessalonians, it says, Paul refers to spirit, soul, body, not body, soul, spirit. The idea is that man's body was inside him. It was body, soul, spirit. When man falls, it becomes... are you with me? So it becomes the reverse. Eh? It was not the intention of the Lord for the body or for the spirit to be subjected to the body. It was the other way around. When man sins, there is a reverse. Man is sent out of the garden. Man sent out of the garden still had the capacity to live for 6 years. Sick in the sense that impossible. Okay? Adam dies at the age of 930. Seth dies at the age of 912. Enosh dies at the age of 905. And we could go on. Now, the farther you went away from Adam, who was in the garden where the presence of God gave life, the more likely that people did not live longer. So the farther you go away from Adam, the shorter the lifespan. Are you with me so far? Okay? So in the first 10 generations, from 930 where Adam died, we go to 912, 905, all the way up to Noah. Those are the first 10 generations in Genesis chapter 5. Somewhere in between those 10, Genesis 6 happens. Okay? Now, in the sense that there were beings that came down on earth, okay, had intercourse with daughters of men, gave birth to a product, and that product had the capacity to outlive man. Oh God. Are you with me? Now, in the process of that intermarriage, Genesis 6:3, God then decides to quicken the process of the age gap by decreeing from his throne. He says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. So God does not wait for the world to go as far away from Adam to reach 120. He cuts it, he shortens it. Then later, by his wisdom, Moses, in Psalms 90, give me verse 10. Psalms 90, verse 10. He decrees, "The days of years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength, 80. That's 80. So he's saying a man will live up to 70, and if he has strength, maybe 80. So he has reduced it further. from 120. Are you with me? Are we at the same wavelength? Eh? So the lifespan of man keeps reducing. But there were men who existed within the confines of this time frame that defeated these laws. And this is what I'm going to explain, because there is such a thing as the revelation of immortality. And when I say immortality, it's not just the inability to die, but it's to have dominion over death, which affects everything in your life, your marriage, your sickness, your health, and so on and so forth. Okay? The revelation of immortality, putting death in its place. So this is not just about not dying. It's about insulating yourself from the impact of death. Oh, I wish we were on the same wavelength. So these years continue to flow, but there were beings that were a combination of spirits and men that had some sense of a longer life than men on earth. And so, because demonic spirits need bodies to be able to have impact on this earth, they would be limited if the bodies kept on aging and dying. Hence the situation we find ourselves. Why men, human beings, in certain realms of influence on this earth, are directly in contact with Nephilim DNA beings who are very much interested in ensuring that life or immortality is attributed to these men. Because dominion, the earth has he given to the children. Praise the living God. Okay? Psalms 90 and verse 12. Now imagine, they've already given you this 70, 80, and here Moses is saying, teach us to number our days, that we might apply ourselves to wisdom. Okay? If there's one thing, let me tell you, scientists have mastered the art of studying life, but the biggest mystery to them is death. Not just the process alone, but is there a way to curb it? Now, whether you know it or not, from a scientific perspective, your cells have the capacity to renew themselves. They regenerate. And every 7 years, they say, you're almost like a new being. The cells that you began with, after 7 years, are not the cells that you have. And then after 7 years again, they're not the same cells. There is a regenerative capacity inside man. Now, there are creatures on earth that have the same kind of capacity. But to bring across my point, it's important you understand that there are types of immortality. There are types. All this, I'll make it relevant to you in a moment. Eh? There are types of immortality. The first is an immortality based legacy. That a man or a woman can die and leave this earth, but still be here. The Bible says that a good man leaves an inheritance for his children and his children's children. That is legacy. So you can be gone, but still here. Jesus, for example. All of us are called to create that kind of legacy, to be immortal in that kind of way. Not just walk the earth and live and no one knew you existed, or the ones who did forget you very quickly. That is why the true essence of ministry is multiplication. That when you go, you hand over the baton to someone else and the legacy continues. So there's an immortality that comes by legacy. Whether you know it or not, there are leaders on the face of this earth who are chosen before they were born. And I'm not talking about by God. Someone picked them, nurtured them, ensured that they would be exactly where they are now, influencing and impacting. And so to control the process, they would make sure that that influence and that wealth remains in that lineage. And so you have sororities and fraternities that are specific. No one can just walk in. They are family oriented because they understand the importance of immortality by legacy. The second type of immortality is a state of immortality that is temporary. Temporary. And I'm going to explain that. There are creatures on earth that have strange abilities that they cannot die unless a natural predator takes them out. There's a fish called the jellyfish, eternal jellyfish, that reaches an age, goes back and starts afresh. Goes back and starts afresh. It can't die unless an external force comes in. In California, there are trees called sequoia trees that keep growing, and their only natural predator is man. So if men leave the trees alone, they will live forever. So God, when he's creating things, by, you know, he passes on his attributes in things. So you can look at certain things and know that this is an attribute of God. There are things that have immortality temporarily. And by temporary, I mean, if something does not take them out, they can go on forever. There are people like that in the Bible. Paul. If you know the story of Paul, and you know it. Scripture says that number one, he dies. He's stoned. He dies, gets back up. Okay? He's bitten by a snake, Acts 28, doesn't die. Falls into a sea during a storm, and before it says no one's going to die, no one dies. He's whipped 9 times, and if you've watched Passion of Christ, if that's how they're whipping, yeah? By the first one I'll say, Lord, take me home. 9 different separate times, man doesn't die. That is not a miracle. That is a revelation. He makes statements that dumbfound me. Philippians 1:23. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Next verse. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful than you. What audacity. What he's saying here is that he can go, but for your sake, he can stay. That is not a man who's worried that when he's walking across the road, something will come and knock him. Or when he has entered a plane, it's going to crash. That is not that kind of man. He has a revelation. In other words, he understands, this is what I call temporary immortality. He understands that until God intervenes and says, now you're going to die, you're immortal. Guys, the Bible says of Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and verse 7, it says Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. What this is telling us is time didn't kill Moses. I wish you knew how powerful what I'm telling you is. Time did not kill Moses. It's God who said, now it's time to go. Praise the Lord. Praise the living God. The Bible says of Jesus, John chapter 10 verse 18, and I'm just setting the foundation here. It says, no one takes it from me. No one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. This is dominion over death. And he came to show us, he's the last Adam, to show us what life was supposed to be like. And so he says, no one takes my life from me. I lay it down of myself. Actually, start from verse 17. He says, therefore my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I might take it again. The audacity. I lay it down and I will take it again. Not the permission of death. Are you with me? Then verse 18, he goes on to say, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. He says, I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command have I received from my Father. Amen. Oh my God. What I'm telling you is so powerful. Because this same being, when we sing the same power that conquered the grave, lives in me. Please understand. And I'm going to explain to you why what I'm saying is so important and how it can play out in your life. This, you see, when we minister, every minister, when they minister the word, they first have to minister to build your faith. And then when your faith is built, then we bring in the mechanism by which you can walk and work what we've taught. It's not the other way around. We don't work, then bring faith in. You bring faith, then work. That's why the Bible says faith without works is dead. Then it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. So what I'm teaching you here on immortality is to build your faith and bring you to the place where you understand that actually you can subdue death in its various forms. And it has many forms. Denial and rejection. Some of these things that the enemy has brought, incurable disease, no such thing in the spirit world, at least on the divine side. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. Again, I say, it was not the things that you see, that temporary immortality, that temporary immortality that they had. It was not a miracle. It was a revelation. A revelation. Then there are people, the third kind, I told you there are three kinds of immortality. The third kind is permanent immortality. The likes of Enoch and Elijah never saw death. It has never touched them. Praise the Lord. Never touched them. Praise the living God. And so immortality is possible from a spiritual perspective and from a biblical divine perspective. And I'm going to show you why and how. Romans chapter 8 verse 11. It says, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your what? Does it say eternal bodies? This is the mortal body. This one. It says, it shall quicken your mortal bodies by the spirit that dwelleth in you. So this body can be quickened. When Paul says, when corruption puts on incorruption and mortality puts on immortality, he's talking about this. Because when you're given a new body, that body is not a mortal body. So this scripture is referring to your current state. Praise the Lord. Now, the body that I'm referring to here is not just this body. It is the body again that refers to anything physical in your life. Your husband or your wife, your health, and the likes. So those things can put on incorruption where the enemy cannot touch them. Now, can I get three people quick? Now, I want you to watch this. This is spirit, soul, and body. When you get born again, your spirit receives eternal life. This is spirit, soul, and body. Your spirit receives eternal life. Okay? Eternal life, I told you, is different from immortality. Eternal life has to do with your spirit. That's why when a person dies, they continue. Immortality is not with the spirit, it is the body. It's a body thing. So, this is a believer. This is one person. They get born again. Their spirit receives eternal life because Jesus dwells here. The moment their spirit receives eternal life, death cannot reach the spirit. No matter what the enemy does, he can't reach it. Are you with me? That's why a person then can die, okay, and continue in the presence of God. But at a certain point in time, they gave their life to Christ. They were not a preacher here. They are not. They might have not ushered. All those have to do with rewards. But they received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Death does not have that access. However, being born again does not mean death doesn't have access over your mental and your body. Are we preaching gospel here? It doesn't mean you don't have it. Death doesn't have power over your mental state and your body. I studied years back. I remember you've had men of God who are teaching about the Holy of Holies. And so they say it has the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. There was a path of entry into the Holy of Holies where the presence of God is. And many men of God genuinely teach that rightly, implying or showing a path by which a person can move from outside, from the outer court, into the presence of God. But the reason why that path was shown was not for men to walk in. The born again man doesn't start from the outer court. He starts from the Holy of Holies. And so the idea was to get heaven and impact the outside. Are you getting what I'm saying? Eh? Very, very important what I'm telling you. And so here, this man is born again. His spirit has received the Spirit of God, and he has eternal life, but he still thinks death. And because he thinks death, he thinks, oh my God, I'm broke. That is a death kind of thinking. Huh? Oh my God, will I ever get married? I don't think I'll get married. Death kind of thinking. And so here he has salvation, but out here, he's not the man God wants. Because remember when Adam was created, he was spirit, soul, and body, and all three were what God called man before the fall. And so the idea is that when you get born again, all three must belong to God, not just the spirit. I'm preaching. Okay? So, if he continues, if his mind, this is the reason why the Bible says, renew, so that death does not have access to your soul. Because it can, even with your born-againness. And then you get that very same revelation and you apply it to body. And this is where I'm telling you, this is where immortality now can happen. And you see, it happens in degrees and in levels. All of a sudden, you're not broke anymore. But maybe there's still like a little flu that bothers you. After a stage, flu doesn't bother you anymore. And mortality is putting on immortality. My God. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, death has three forms. Biblically, death, there's a death of the spirit, there's the death of the mind, and there's the death of the body. Most of us look at just the body. In the same way, life has three forms. There's the life of the spirit, the life of the mind, and the life of the body. Praise the living God. And so, what I need you to understand is that if you learn the art, hear me carefully, of life in your spirit being drawn out to affect both how you think and how the state of your physical being, you are on a trajectory to immortality. And again, I say, not just about the ability not to die, but everything in your vicinity. And so the Bible gives us principles of how things can stay here on earth for a while. The first is very simple. It says, honor your father and mother. Says, and you shall have long life. This is a spirit speaking. This is not something men came up with. And he's saying just by that particular principle, and good thing it doesn't say physical mother or what, it can be anyone who takes a form of a father or a mother, and you honor it, adds, you don't see it in the, you don't see it physically, but there's a movie I watch called Timeless. Have you watched it, eh? Where I think it had Justin Timberlake, and time was currency, and people would exchange. So just imagine the thing. You see why you can walk around and do whatever you want, wake up at 10 o'clock is because you can't see the amount of time you have left. So you say, you can't see how much time you have left, and because you don't see how much time you have left, you say, live life, enjoy life. But Moses in his wisdom said it, when this is actually what he was talking about when he said, teach us to number our days. It's what he was talking about. Give me the ability to see, to have the urgency in my spirit. Now, time can be added to a person. That is one way. The second way, as I've mentioned before here, it says the fool shall die before his time. So nullify being a fool, and you just, that one is the easiest. Eh? Okay, maybe not. Eh? Psalms 91 verse 16. Yes. With long life will I satisfy him. This is the Spirit of God speaking. And show him my salvation. So salvation is not just you. Oh, I'm born again. One day when I die, I'll enter heaven. Listen to me carefully. If pain, suffering, lack, and all those things could only be a reprieve when we've died and left this earth, Jesus died in vain. If we could only get no more pain when we've died, then he died in vain. That's why he makes some very hefty statements. That's why Paul says, let mortality put on immortality. It is a revelation. With long life may he satisfy you. And here he's not talking about long life. You die, then you go and you live with the angels. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about life here on earth. With long life may he satisfy you. And that kind of life is not just a life of age. It's a life that touches your health, touches your money, touches. May it be long living. Death does not touch it. In the name of Jesus. Praise the living God. Proverbs 9:11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Give me the NKJV of that. By me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. So he's saying here that by God, you see, Paul said something, and I'll touch it some other time in its entirety. He said, all I want is to know Christ, that's one. To know the power of his resurrection, that's two. To experience his sufferings, that's three. And to be like him in death, in hope that I myself shall someday be raised from death to everlasting life. Now, those are levels of immortality which I cannot touch now. It's not enough just to know God. And the knowing here is not scripture. He's saying, I have read the Old Testament and seen you there. And he's reaching towards the end of his ministry, or the peak of it. And he says, all I want is to know Christ. And he's saying, yes, I've seen scripture. Show me a vision. Give me an encounter. Come in my room. Are you with me? All I want is to know Christ. And after I've known him, I want to know the power of his resurrection. Because that power is what gives immortality. Praise the living God. Praise the Lord. The last scripture. Proverbs 3, 7 to 8. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8. It says, it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. So it's not enough just to eat healthy. There's a revelation here by which your body can receive health. It says, fear God. Oh my God. He says, fear him. And he says, it will be health to your flesh. And if bones are weak, he says, it will strengthen them. The fear of God. Now please understand. I'm not decampaigning, but not going to gym, eh? Huh? And I'm not decampaigning because I don't go, eh? but my point is the higher revelations. The higher revelation. There's a man of God called Cobus Van Rensburg. Died in 2013. A prophet of God in South Africa. He taught about immortality. He had leukemia. He died 6 times. Clinically pronounced dead and rose again. Recorded. Now, you get it in the audio, eh? So, and I'll touch about this because there's another dimension of death where the Bible says, it says, you must die. Paul says, no longer I who lives. That's a different dimension of death from the one that I'm talking about. Eh? But people like Cobus Van Rensburg, prophet man of God, taught about immortality and the ability for the body of a person to be regenerated by the spirit and the fire that is inside his spirit and make him come back. And this is what I said about temporary immortality, where until God says now it's time to go, some people are hard to kill.